Hello everyone, it's that time again, Champman FPL preview. Sorry it's been late, as usual, working all over the place, not had much time, and decided to do a cheeky little FPL pod in between, which you guys might have listened to if you're interested in that at all. If not, no worries, not a problem. Let's get back to Champman. So I'm not going to go over last week, because again, I've left it too late, I can barely remember. We move week to week in this game quite often. And we're going to do the preview of this week. I have seen the man on pod data to influence me this time, which, you know, sometimes I don't have seen that yet. So, yeah, that's going to have some effect on me, no doubt. And we've seen the leak, such as it was. So, yeah, got a little bit more information. And obviously we've got the injuries from the stream as well. So, yeah, up to date with current info as far as I know. Although, like I said, I didn't have full time to check it all out, so I could be wrong on some players and stuff, but you guys all know that. If you're listening to this, you're probably sadder than me and into him even more than I am. Let's start at the very top of the gaffer list. It's Leeds versus Middlesbrough. What a nice game this is for Leeds. I feel like it's a game where on paper we would hope, you know, Middlesbrough can spring surprises, sure, that can happen, but Leeds at home, you know, low rep side. They start off at 12 in the game. I'm not sure where they are now, maybe 13, 14 even, but still a good game. Leeds don't seem to be a team that stop trying to go for goals in terms of game state. They might do a little bit, but not to the level of Man United. That's what I'm getting at. So I think if there was to be like a 5 or a 6-0 outside of red cards, because, you know, red cards and penalties can completely just change games. You know, this one's probably up there. It's a little bit harder to pick who's going to do well for Leeds because everyone's so good. But yeah, I think 3-4-0 could be a thing. You know, conservatively 2. But should be some goals anyway if everything goes to type. I've got Viduka and Kuhl in my team, which is pretty good, I think. We've got the added issue of Larsson being back now, fully fit. I see a lot of talk about how Leeds will line up as they're at home, and it's a, you know, not a good side in terms of rep. They'll have the up arrow, the double length fullbacks, so that means that Harpal Singh is more likely than Harp. It's not ever nailed to be him, but it's certainly more likely. And now we've got, there's one player ultimately that's going to miss out. Viduka is the most nailed forward. He doesn't always play all of them, so he is slightly at risk, but you have to expect him to play. Larsson himself, generally what happens, I think, when they're all fit is just like one or two games come off of everyone as a total, so it doesn't really dampen them all that much, in my opinion. So I think you can pick any of these guys, and they'll still do you absolutely fine when they play. You just have to take it on the chin if they do miss out. Obviously they can get subbed on as well. If that happens, then you're still getting 30-40 minutes of a Leeds asset. It's still okay, you know, as long as they come on with 30 or 40 minutes to go. I still think it's worth it, basically. I think you have to treat it almost like Man City a little bit, where, yeah, it's usually worth it, and even more so in this game, because Man City don't always score sort of 4 or 5 goals, whereas Leeds are often a little bit closer to that, I would say. So, yeah, I think like Viduka plays, I think you have to think Larsson probably plays, because he normally will. And also, he's not played for a while, so it feels like the engine would try to use him. AMC with an up arrow stinks of Robbie Keane as the most likely. I know Kuhl can play there, but generally hasn't played there. Even when Aymar's not there, they've usually picked Keane there, so you would have thought it's Keane. Centre midfield then, Aymar is so good in the game, his stats. And this is something I also want to touch on here, actually, is that, you know, in season one, when everyone's was running Sims and stuff, I was like, you don't have to worry about this Sim individually. Like, the stats are the stats, and what the stats are showing you in the games are, you know, basically verbatim. Like, there's variance. Outside of variance, there isn't much else going on. There's a few random attributes, a few zeros, a few things that can cause issues. If the Simmers didn't have the managers down perfectly, then they'd get some different results. And you can't get everything perfect, no. But when you get 3 seasons in, you have to start looking at this sim compared to the other simmers. And even if they're running season 3 sims, that's, you know, 3 years of stuff to go down different routes. How much they've been starting for certain teams, you know, when were they signed? Were they signed naturally? Their abilities jumped. The manager's stats may have changed slightly, because even they can change. You know, we do have to look at the simmers data, I think, say, yeah, that's great. But then you do have to now, as we're so far in, apply this sim a little bit, I think. So Imar is a good example, because in season 3, he's fantastic. Compared to season 1, his stats are vastly improved. He improves very quickly because of his age. And even if people are running season 3 sims of Imar, they won't get the exact version of Imar, because the development will change depending on how much he's played, how much he's played for Argentina, his reputation, obviously signing naturally. If you just stick Imar in the team at Leeds on his lower condition, he won't be as favoured, his lower ability and stuff, you know, and rep before he gets it. So I think Imar's, again, not nailed, the same way that Viduka's not nailed, but it's close. Like, those two are probably in the team most of the time. And then the other slot is between Kewell and Boya. Now, Boya's obviously more suited to that position, but Kewell has undoubtedly got the higher rep and ability. He's a star player, he's really good in the game. So my bet would be that Boya misses out, but that doesn't mean that next time it won't be one of the others that miss out. So we can't take any information from this Leeds lineup and go, all right, that's what they're going to do now, because it will change. I think the most likely person to miss out is Boya. Probably the next most likely person to miss out would be Keane, just simply because Imar, obviously in a different formation with a no-up arrow, goes up to that position. And then after that, probably Kewell and Larsson right near the bottom. And we're talking, like, for Larsson and people like that, 31, 32 games still. Imagine he didn't have the injury. I'm talking across the 38. Probably misses 6 or 7 in the whole season. You have to factor in some injuries, some rep there. You know, it's negligible. I don't think you can get unlucky bringing the player in and then he doesn't play. But that can happen to any other player in this game at any other point. So I don't know how much of a factor it is, to be honest. Anyway, spent too much time talking about Leeds there. Middlesbrough wouldn't expect anything from them. It's as simple as that, really. They've got a very good team, very good players, but it's the way they'll set up. Could they jam out a 0-0, 1-0? Sure. You know, if you've got the option to bench Southgate or any Middlesbrough defenders for another option, then I'd take that option. But if you have to play them, I don't think you need to panic and make hits, because they could obviously just sneak bonus because they're good at that, right? Watford and Arsenal. Now, I'm kind of beating myself up that I didn't get Omri last week. I thought he'd probably end up being the best captain last week, and so it proved to be. You know, the form thing wasn't a thing there. They just, I know he only got one, but he got max bonus. I think he was the clear winner. You know, Viduka and Omri, Viduka and Van Nistelrooy only got an assist each, and I don't think Van Nistelrooy even got bonus in the end. So Omri beat him quite easily. And then this week, the data is just crazy. They're having like 20 shots, 20 to 30 shots, I think 29 shots in one of them. Shots doesn't necessarily mean goals, but obviously it's going to give you the chance to. Again, I have to apply this sim a little bit. Watford seem a little bit better in our sim than what we see in Simmer's stuff. We're seeing Arsenal be quite a lot worse than what the Simmer's stuff shows. But still, even with that, because of the formation, the way they set up, I'd expect Arsenal to have a load of shots in this game, and a load of them could go in. So Henri Pires is a very interesting example. I just talked about, I've got Kewell in my team. I've actually got 2 free transfers, and no obvious way. It sounds like bragging, but it's not. It's because I wildcarded last week. But I've got 2 free transfers. Carboni was the obvious go-to. He's now injured. I've got Kewell set on my team, who looks a great option this week if he plays. But he could be playing in centre midfield. In fact, in what I just talked you through, he's either playing in centre midfield or he's not, in my opinion, which isn't the best position for him. So the other obvious name I could switch to get a piece of Arsenal is Pires. He's also not nailed, though. So I could switch out Kewell for Pires and then Pires not play. That's the risk. But I kind of want a piece of the Arsenal game. I can't, as much as I'd love to get Omri, I can't sell Viduka or Van Nistelrooy to do it, because they've got great games, and my third striker's Wood, so that's not happening. So it's pretty much an Arsenal midfielder or no one, and I still might pick the no one and just go with Kewell, because it's a great game. And like I say, I could move to Pires and then him just not play. Tikhonov, if I knew he started, and he usually takes pens even over Pires at left wing, then fine, but he's only got one position on the pitch he can start. We've got more chance at Pires. So yeah, he's in my thoughts. I do like Lundberg if I knew he was going to play, but that just seems mad. I just don't know if he's going to. He seems a little bit less nailed than everyone else, and I wouldn't touch anyone else, I don't think, personally. Parler can do fine, but when you've got the extra money, you feel like you want to chance the man with pens or set pieces or the generally the better goal scoring record. So I still might do Kuhl to Pires, but I'm not 100% set on that yet. Like I say, even if Kuhl does start and it's in centre midfield, he can still do fine. So interesting, we'll see. Anyway, that's my dilemmas. Norwich versus Ipswich. I've got Tirico. He's currently benched. I don't know if I'll play him. I might play him. Like, he could do fine. Norwich aren't exactly known for goals. Ipswich can keep it tight, and obviously their attack's dreadful, so any sort of goals or assists, Tirico's always slightly in the frame, can take some set pieces, so he's still a good pick here. It's just generally you don't want to play away defenders if you can help it. I think something like 1-1 is probably likely in this game, but follow the Simmers data there. I don't think it's, you know, if you're weighing up, for example, Nolan versus versus Tirico, I don't think it's straightforward as do you pick. Nolan is the home player. Midfield is generally not that great. Possibly on pens. I feel like it's one where you could beat yourself up if you don't play Nolan. You know, you take hits to not play Nolan. I wouldn't be doing that, for example. I'd just play him. I think he can do well in this. And I think he's done pretty well on the data the guys have run anyway. So you remember these players, if they are picking up 5 or 6 goals across the season, yes, some of that can be penalties, but when they're going to come is usually in the easier games. So yeah, I don't think it's the worst to play him. In a straight shootout between both him and Tirico, which I've got, I think it's tough. You know, I think currently I've got them both on the bench, such as my team this week, but probably slightly favour Nolan. I'm not sure. I'll have to review that one. Man United versus Leicester. Yeah, another great game on paper. I often think that, when you run this game over and over in Sims, because Man United will just win it all the time, like we're really consistent, and Leicester will barely score, the data looks a little bit better than it can be. It doesn't make sense because you've obviously got 20 games and you've taken an average and the average is the average. But when you see like a high 2.5 or 6, I think it's just because every single game is like 2 or 3-0, because it's just very standard. There's not much deviation. It's not like Leeds where I'd say you could win 1-0, 2-0. Maybe they get this draw 0-0, then they win a couple 5, 6, 7. Now, Man United definitely can do that, and like I say, penalties and red cards and stuff. But I think as a default, you kind of expect it to be 2-3-0. But then, if it's 2 or 3-0, Van Nistelrooy just seems to be involved all the time. He's more of a talisman. He usually gets something around the same. You know, I think Craig was saying Giggs or Nedved, if you knew which one was going to play, great pick. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, Chadwick basically is the pick because he's the cheapest and he's the most nailed in terms of the midfielders, who is cheap and he plays on the wing. You know, would I take Giggs or Nedved over him if I knew they were going to play every week? Absolutely, absolutely. Even if Chadwick takes corners, I still would, because I think they're better in general. And Giggs and Nedved both can take corners off of him, and they obviously have free kicks as well. And they're just better players. The stats are incredible for both those players. Yeah, Van Nistelrooy or Viduka, not decided yet. You know, part of me thinks, well, if you've got Van Nistelrooy, it costs that much money, you may as well make him captain. If you're not going to make him captain in games like this, why have you got him? And that rings in my mind. But yeah, there's part of me that just wants to do Viduka, because like I say, I feel like I could get 5 or 6. I think I'm more likely to get a hat-trick out of Viduka than I am Van Nistelrooy. So ultimately, will it matter too much? Hopefully not. Hopefully they'll score similarly, and with a captain, vice-captain, it won't be that big of a swing. But you never know. I wouldn't want to push anyone either way here. I just think both are fine, and there's not a clear answer. Just go with whichever one you're feeling. And part of this game is just having a feeling, having the fun with it. And you may not even own any of these players, so just feel free to ignore that. Ron, the forgotten man, could do absolutely fine here if you had him here for a free hit or something. Might be a great little buy. Liverpool versus Newcastle. Yeah, I think, as Newcastle are away, not usually good. Liverpool at home is the standard, the Liverpool sort of 1-2-0 win. You would have thought maybe Newcastle can get a goal, and if that happens, it's likely to be Shearer. But I wouldn't pick Shearer for any particular reason in this game. I think, is Owen out? I think Owen's out. And I think Panda said Fowler started. I don't know if you guys realised about the leak, because I don't think it was produced in the best way. basically Scarface said to Panda, like, release two more names or I won't give the leak out or something. And then on Panda's timeline, he put Fowler starts and someone else, I think. I can't remember who it was now. At least I'm pretty sure I saw that. And it wasn't sort of conveyed by Scarface as well. So I think we've got the normal leak, and then on Panda's timeline, he gave two more names. So check that out if you haven't already. I'm pretty sure I saw Fowler as one of them, because they didn't really apply to me. I just ignored it. But yeah, I think obviously the strikers for Liverpool this week are pretty good. If Partridge is fit, which I think maybe he's got low condition. Maybe I made that up. I should have really researched this a bit more, shouldn't I? But yeah, they're still good picks, and Partridge has continued to do pretty damn well, hasn't he? So yeah, Partridge and the strikers, especially if you've got the name Fowler, then Fowler. And I imagine if Owen is out, then, which I think is true, then Heskey is obviously a good pick as well. I like those options. And Hippier as well. I know he's been pretty dreadful so far, but would anyone be surprised if it's 1-2-0, penalty, max bonus, the usual story from him? Absolutely not. Chelsea and Bradford. This feels like, again, a very standard game. Probably feels a little bit like the Man United-Leicester game, where you just expect them to win, sort of 2-0, 3-0 maybe. I know they've got Carboni out. I think that makes Petit an even better option, because he shares set pieces and penalties with Carboni. He generally scores quite a few goals and gets a few assists from midfield anyway. Petit is quite cheap. So I think the added bonus of not having Carboni actually makes him the better option here than even Zenden or anyone else. That's the way I look at it anyway. Obviously Zenden's still a good pick though. I see people eyeing up Gudjonsson and stuff. Yeah, he's a good striker, but I don't rate him as highly as some of the others. Obviously a very good game for him though. I think in this week, you know, Man United leads are much better. Henry obviously as well, and arguably the Liverpool strikers as well, but Gudjonsson's fine. Bradford, you're obviously not going to want to play any of your players in this game. Wouldn't expect him to get anything. Gunnison could get bonus if he's centre back and he just has to constantly fend off attacks, maybe. So worst case scenario, fine, but yeah, you're not going to pick him on purpose. That's about it for that, isn't it? Yeah, Chelsea defence, obviously you want to play them in this game. They're looking very good. Could even be VCs or ECs or something if you really wanted. Spurs versus Blackburn. I'm not sure what to expect from this game. Spurs have been dreadful. They've lost their players into Slakovic and stuff. But it's a home game. Blackburn are a good side, obviously, but they don't shut up complete shop here. Could be some goals in it. I like to think of it might be a 2-2 and Spurs get something from it. Obviously, I've got Wood. Maybe I'm just being optimistic, because I hope he does something, because he's done absolutely nothing since I got him. But yeah, it's a home game at the end of the day. Sorry, I'm just trying to not kill people in my car at the same time. There we go. Blackburn, yeah, you could play the players, I suppose, but it's not preference, is it? Bolton and Man City. Yeah, decent game for Bolton this, I think. Man City can do okay in it. They're both quite, I think they're quite equal teams really, in general. Feel quite similar teams to me. But Gardner, Pedersen, all the obvious names here for Bolton are good picks. This is why some part of the time I don't really want to do the pogs. It's like I feel like I'm just listing the home teams and the obvious players and the good picks, which is what I am doing. But there's not much else to say about this game, is it? Is there? I don't know what else you can say. It just looks like a decent game for Bolton. And at any point, you know, Pedersen could score a hat-trick in this game. Wallace, any of these guys can do well. Gardner in particular could have a blinder. Coventry versus Villa. I would probably just have this game to be quite boring or low scoring. I think Villa would maybe win just 2-1. Something like that. See, you start any Coventry players you've got because it's home. And equally, you probably start any Aston Villa players you've got because they're playing a poor side. I think Hendry's still a really good pick. Overall, he's just one of the better value players and shouldn't be put off by him. And Angel's just a very consistent striker. Nothing else to say there. Sunderland versus Everton. Again, these teams are quite similar, I think. They're reasonably defensively sound, especially in home games, not so much in away. And both got decent attacks that can score quite a lot of goals. Obviously, Sunderland mainly through Phillips. Everton have got Christie, and their wing-backs seem to do pretty well. But anytime Sunderland in a home game, I think Kevin Phillips is an obvious pick there.
You know, sometimes he's often feast or famine, but Libra's great for this as well. I don't know if Arca's out. Maybe he's out or not, but if the, whichever wingers are fit could obviously be good. And Tom and Issa are obviously good starts. These are the games where usually, because Sunderland use the man marking and stuff, you'd be surprised if Issa and Tom don't get some bonus, even if they concede a goal. So they're decent picks. And yeah, I think if we were on a free hit or a wild card, it'd be really hard for the strikers this week, because you've obviously got Van Nistelrooy, you've got Viduka, you've got Omri, you've got the Liverpool forwards, you've got Chelsea forwards, Bolton forwards, and you've got Kevin Phillips. There's a lot of options up front. So I think, in reality, you might even not have Van Nistelrooy. You might end up covering Man United with the midfield instead, or covering Leeds with the midfield instead, and then using some of the other strikers. A lot of interesting ways to go. Could be a really high-scoring week, because we've got lots of good teams at home. So, yeah, I'm excited to get through it and see what happens. Very short one this week, guys. Sorry it wasn't in much detail, but, yeah, didn't really have that much time and felt I still need to commit to do it. So, yeah, hopefully enjoy it. Good luck for this game week, and I'll see you in the Discord if I can work out how to turn off that podcast while I'm talking to you. Catch you later, guys. Bye-bye.